Blog Talk Radio.
Nice intro, Mr. Board Operator. Thank you guys for tuning in once again this week. You're listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. Thanks for tuning in again. Last week, we talked about some more unknown guys who we're getting ready for this year's draft and, most importantly, 2018 season for the NFL. Now, I know that most of the guys who I covered through the NFL Regional Combine, primarily this year for the Invitational that they have revamped to, my focus is totally on those guys. But either way, it's still NFL news, and I'm going to break down a different aspect about this year's draft that no one actually ever talk about, but they should. And I will talk about divisions, how teams should draft according to the division. If a team cannot win their division, they are pretty much in a situation where they're not going to go nowhere, and they're not going to be in a situation where they can win. And I'll break down each division, and also after the break, I will talk about on the defense side of the ball, some of the players that I've seen work out and watch a lot of film on, that I will talk about certain guys that came through the Regional Combine Invitational, who I think will be in the NFL, who will get drafted, what round to expect those guys to be drafted in, and the guys that should get a phone call right after the draft commits. But before I get into that, I do have a little housekeeping thing to talk about of a certain player that came through the NFL Regional Combine, and his name is Justin Zimmer. Justin Zimmer was a defensive end for Ferris State University, a Division II school in Upper Michigan. He came through the pro player workout this year after going through the regional combine workouts in 2016 when he was in Houston. A couple of weeks ago in Tampa, he went through the pro player, and he actually got signed by the Atlanta Falcons this past Monday. Justin, when he came on the scene, he was a YouTube sensation because the way how he was, well, his ability to bench press 42 times, you know, with the 235-pound weight, and he kind of blew up Twitter and YouTube with what he was able to do. So when he came to the workout, everyone was expecting to see how well he could move. And he had a couple of stints with some teams in the NFL, signed a tentative agreement with a CFL team with our Red Blacks. But now he's now back in the NFL with Atlanta Falcons. He still have to make the team's roster. I'm confident that he will. It seems as though that's from watching him from his first workout and then watching him at the pro player, he trimmed up a lot. He moved a lot better. He's a lot more fluent in his movement. So I think that this go-around would be the go-around where he can actually at least make a practice squad or make a late appearance in somewhere in the 2018 season, whether if it's with the Atlanta Falcons or another squad in the NFL. All right, now, you can go to my publication, locker-report.com, to see all my latest content and pretty much a lot of things that I will discuss today. You can go to that site to check it out. I'm the world leader in the NFL Regional Combine News, and I know you'll find NFL news within the NFL. I bet you'll find it really appealing. Okay, now, 6 days away, be ready to walk into the NFL Draft. And the NFL Draft is an event, more so than anything, of all sports. This is actually televised, and the NFL recognized several years ago that it's such a big event that's breaking up into 3 days. Now, primarily on the draft, for the draft, I really focus on the third day, that Saturday. That's where the real evaluation comes in at. That's where the real draft begins for me, because that's where you have a lot of unknown small school guys or guys that flew under the radar. Let's see how good these scouts have evaluated talent throughout the year. And that's where it begins. But when it comes down to the draft, and every year we see players that do well in college, they're well at the combine, but because of the hype of that person, what that individual is able to do at the scouting combine, all of a sudden teams just go crazy and say, hey, let's pick this guy in the first round, or let's pick this guy with this team. Like I said at the start of the show, it's very important to select players that's going to benefit you, benefit a team that's going to help that team win a division. Now, all the football players are not created equal that go into the upcoming draft each year. Last year, we had Aaron Ross, the wide receiver for Washington State. Yes, he ran the 4.2 at last year's combine, but when he got selected with the Cincinnati Bengals, the first thing that came to my mind was, okay, he played in a warm climate school. The way how his offense is set up is for him to run free. He's going to come into a very physical AFC North division where they are going to destroy guys like him. And he really didn't play none last year because he got broke up. And that's what I mean by finding the right guys that's going to help a team win a division. Just because they are flashing their pants and they did something well during college or at the combine, then all of a sudden their stock rises, that's good for the player, that's good for the individual. But do it necessarily mean that it's going to translate into success for that team, the team that drafted them, and draft a player that will not benefit or help them in their respective division? Now, I will start with the AFC North, because that's the division that I use as an example. That division is very physical. So for all the teams that actually look to draft, they want to find players that, first of all, is durable. They want to find guys that definitely have a good, unique skill set. But they have to be physically tough and mentally tough. Now, the cold weather do play an effect, but that black and blue type of division really heats up towards the latter part of the season when you get towards the end of November, when you walk into December. That's when the teams really dig down deep, and these guys are going to play faster and they're going to hit a lot harder because that's what their division is built on, physicality. And so when the teams go in and draft next week, I hope that all four of the teams look for players that can fit that mold to help them win. Now, in the AFC East division, the Patriots have set the standard for over 10 years. And the only way to beat the New England Patriots, you have to be disciplined. The Dolphins, the Jets, the Bills, all three of these teams are going to have to draft guys that's very disciplined. They're going to have to draft guys that's fundamentally sound. They also have to draft guys that's smart, because to outplay the Patriots, you have to have those three elements, because that was the standard that they set. So they don't want to go and just get someone that, yes, they do have a good skill set if they played at Florida State or if they played at Ohio State, but they really have to look at, honestly, it may sound funny, it may sound crazy, but you want to look at what that young man had majored in school. You want to look at certain things that they was able to do academically. You want to look at some of the things, that how their past, you know, as far as their personal life, you know, were they good kids at home? Did they pretty much turn everything in on time in school? You know, if they had a part-time job in high school, or we know they can't work in college, but did they fulfill certain duties in a good, timely manner? They're the type of guys that those three teams have to look at with those three traits, because the Patriots will. And to beat that team and to win in that division, have to be disciplined, have to be smart in order to get over and try to win that division. Now, the AFC South, that's a little different. Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars is starting to show that you have to be a little physical. That team is starting to show physicality. You know, the Houston Texans are starting to show that there. But primarily for that division, you definitely want to have high-quality skilled players there, because when you look at the quarterbacks that they have there, and the person who's going to set the tone there will be Watson. They want to make sure that they have players that can get to Deshaun Watson and keep up with what the Texans are going to do. Now, we know what Jacksonville did last year, which was great. They did make it to the AFC conference title game. But how things would translate if Deshaun Watson had played. Now, this year he come back healthy, J.J. Watt come back healthy. Let's see what these guys are going to do. So for that division, the players definitely have to have a niche or a certain skill set of speed and ability and be very athletic, because Jacksonville and the Texans is about to set that precedent inside that division. So for all four of those teams, they have to find really athletic, skilled guys to be able to compete and win in that division. Now, in the AFC West, okay, we have solid quarterbacks all around, you know, in that division. So it's going to be really interesting in seeing how the team is going to perform there. Now, in that division, it does require some kind of discipline. You do have to, you know, be physical. But for that division, it's all about stamina. You have to have guys that's going to be able to withstand, you know, that heat during that time of the year when they have to go to San Diego or they have to go to Oakland. It's a stamina thing, because it seems as though that each year, out of all those teams, that when they get closer and closer towards the postseason or going to December, it seems as though that these teams run out of gas. You see how the Chiefs, how it seems as though they, when they get to the playoffs, they just run out of gas. It's like they just don't have nothing in them. But to be able to sustain in that division, you want to make sure you have guys that have good stamina, mental toughness, and who you want to see to try to succeed and win in that division. That division is pretty much open every year. Anyone can win it. And the struggles that they have there with the Chargers, with Phillip Rivers, he's a great quarterback. But for some reason, when it comes down to crunch time, that whole team, including himself, just folds up. It just seems as though they just cannot get it together with their stamina and their mental toughness. So to succeed in that division, you need mental toughness, and you definitely want to make sure you have the stamina to compete. Now, we're going to swing over to the NFC conference, and I'm going to start with the NFC North. NFC North, you definitely want to have guys that can play in inclement weather. Other than Detroit, because Detroit do have a dome, and Minnesota have a dome, but they can open it up and freeze you while they're playing. So with that being said, you want to have some guys that's used to playing in inclement weather. That is a physical division, not as physical as the AFC North, and also I'm going to talk a little bit about the NFC West shortly. But you want to make sure you have guys that can play in inclement weather and also withstand the passing attack of Aaron Rodgers. You want to make sure that teams there can actually have good secondary play and good linebacker play to try to stop that man, because the Packers is that team, the Packers are the team to beat in that division. Yes, they didn't make it to the postseason last year, all because Aaron Rodgers was not there. But he's expected to play the whole entire season, and the teams need to make sure they have the right players there to stop that man. Okay, now in the NFC East, where the Super Bowl champion Eagles reside, that division is starting to become a little bit more physical. But that division now is starting to show that you definitely have to have some kind of finesse and also some credibility for us with their technique, and also is a smarter division now. But that division is more like a finesse division right now, because you have some high-flying players there. You know, you have Dak Prescott. Now you bring over Alex Smith towards the Washington Redskins. Now they probably have the best group of quarterbacks in the entire league. So it's going to be really interesting seeing how the teams will draft there. And then you go to the NFC South, where that's more finesse, not as physical. You want to make sure that's a top-flight type of division. Make sure you have guys that have the stamina and have the speed to be able to cover on the defense side of the ball. And you have to have the offensive guys that can make plays. So that's all about finesse. And then you're looking at NFC West, where it's a physical division. Let's see what type of players that the teams there will pick, because when you look at the standard with the Seattle Seahawks, what they have set, everybody's starting to catch up with them there, and also with the Cardinals. Very physical team. They did have to make some changes, but I'm confident that this division is going to go right back to being physicality. Right now, I'm about to take a break, and we'll come back. We'll talk about some players who I think will make a good fit for all those teams.
Hey there, this is L.A. Bachelor, host of the Bachelor Pad show from the Bachelor Pad Network, inviting you to tune in on Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, for the Donaldson File with your hosts Tom Donaldson and Coco Cosney. They bring politics and other perspectives from the left and from the right. The Donaldson Files every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network.
All right, we're back from the break. I hope everyone was able to do what they had to do to get back to listen to me, your host, Barry Barnes, and you're listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you'll hear about NFL stars of tomorrow, today. And today, on this part, as I said, I'm about to talk about some future stars right now. As you can tell, I'm really excited about it compared to the first half of this segment of the show. Now we're going to roll right into the players that I've seen at the NFL Regional Combine Invitational. We was in Tampa last month. On the defense side of the ball, I saw some really talented players there. Some players off the bat came that was in my mind I thought was going to be drafted, or could be draft worthy, I would say. Some of those guys are, but you have a lot of guys there that are not draft worthy, but they are worthy enough for a shot to be in someone's rookie minicamp directly following the NFL draft. And I'm going to start with one of the defensive backs there who I really, really took a liking to. And his name is Mike Singfro from Adams State University. Mike stands 5'11", 191 pounds, but he have great speed, great hands. His stop, start, and go is insane. His stop, start, and go is on an elite level. And when you have a defensive back where they have an offense of receivers that's really good with their feet and know where they're going at in their routes, you want to make sure you have a defensive back that can cover that. You want to make sure that if a wide receiver is thinking they're going to break inside or they're going to break outside or they have a double step, if they're going up against a receiver like that, your corner have to make sure he keep up with that receiver. Mike showed that he's on an elite level with playing that particular way, and if the ball is thrown too high, he actually is instinctive, and he'll go for the ball. He traps the ball very well. I'm really high on this young man from Adams State University. I project him at least to go in the fourth round or somewhere in the sixth round. I'd be surprised if he get drafted in the seventh round. He's one of those guys that a team do not want to take a chance on not missing because he do have that talent. And far as with the squads that he would fit in, I really see that he'll fit with any squad in the AFC North and any squad in the AFC East. And the other three teams outside of that, the Denver Broncos, the Bengals, and the Seattle Seahawks. Now, Reggie Hall is more of he's a bigger cornerback. He's standing about 6'3". He came from Jacksonville State, 197 pounds. He can be a solid defensive back for many years. He's a very calculated talent with strong hands. He actually showed that he have good game day speed because you see the way how he tracked the ball in the visual drills. So I think that young man is going to be someone to watch out for. Coming from Jacksonville State, the teams that I think that he'll fit, he'll definitely fit with any team in the AFC South, any team in the NFC South. And outside of that, the Dolphins, the Arizona Cardinals, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Steelers. Both of those teams need defensive back help badly. He could come in and be that type of player that stands up because he is a physical type of player as well. Now, Zachariah Brown from West Georgia. Between him and Mike, I think they were the two best defensive players that was there. Now Brown, he's a very physical defender. He's very fundamentally sound. He has great speed. His instincts is off the charts. He's a fundamentally sound player, and he has great hands. And his ability to track the ball is really big. But what's impressive is that he's a turnover magnet. Last year, he forced 12 turnovers alone when he had transferred West Georgia. So he's someone to watch out for. And the teams that he would definitely fit in would be any team in the AFC North, because he's very physical, and any team in the NFC West. Outside that, Atlanta Falcons, Tennessee Titans, and the Houston Texans. Now, on the defensive front, as far as draftable, I know I had skipped one thing. I know with Brown, I do project him being selected anywhere in the fifth or sixth round. And Reggie Hall, I see him being selected anywhere from the sixth and seventh round. Now to some of the guys in the defensive front. They are draftable. I like Dante Alexander Jr., who's a defensive end. He's a short tackler. What I mean that as soon as he gets his hands on you, he's going to bring you down. He have a nose for the ball. He have a very quick first step, very balanced, always in control. And for a linebacker, he actually have good hands. I see him being drafted somewhere in the sixth or seventh round, where he can fit any team in the AFC North, any team in the AFC East, and also any team in the AFC South and NFC South. He's that type of guy that I can see can fit with any one of those teams because of his ability and with his LSU background. A lot of those guys do translate to be great players in the league. He did battle back from some injuries, but I'm looking forward to seeing him, come back, from that. Okay, Justin Lawson. He comes from SMU. I project him to be the fifth round pick or the seventh round pick. He has a high motor. He had about 109 tackles last year. He's extremely aggressive. He uses his hands well, have a lot of balance, have a lot of control. His instincts are very good, but his leverage, he uses leverage very well to get around on the ends. I project him somewhere in the fifth round or seventh round. Now, Pat Finiti come from Colgate University. Yeah, I know you never heard of Finiti, but this dude is very explosive off the edge. And he's very polished for another small school. His drop back coverage is superb. And he has great, great leaping ability. He stands 6 foot, sort of undersized for a defensive end, but we saw what James Harrison was able to do for 15 seasons in the NFL. This young man can probably translate and do the same thing. Weighs about 233 pounds, soft hands, very physical, very instinctive, very powerful, and with great leverage. I see him being drafted in the fifth round or seventh round. He can fit any one of the squads for the AFC and NFC East, any team with the NFC North, and for the Denver Broncos, the Raiders, and the 49ers. I know the 49ers can use a type of talent like that because he's more of a hybrid type of player. Also, from SMU, Lawson's teammate, Mason Gentry. I see him projected as a sixth or seventh round pick. Now, he's pretty much flawless in all his movement. He was the only player there that could actually play on both the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. He was the only defensive player that worked out with the offensive lineman. And any team can pick him up. If they need help on the offensive line, he can translate to that side of the ball. He's a remarkable talent. He definitely will be drafted. Do you see him somewhere in the sixth round, in the seventh round? He can get to the ball carrier, any running back in the open field, which is very impressive. He's extremely fast. He's extremely physical. Have great feet and hands, solid instincts, and like I said, cannot reiterate enough that this young man can play on both sides of the ball. I see him with any team in the NFC West, any team in the AFC East, or NFC South. But the outside teams, the Bengals could use him. The Saints, he'll be really good with the Saints and also with the Kansas City Chiefs. Mike Love from South Florida. This guy is what you want to say is a specimen. He possesses great closing speed. He have a wicked first step. He's extremely athletic, and he's an excellent tackler. Very physical. His instincts is keen, and he loves to hit. Honestly, his talent, I see him going anywhere in the fifth or the seventh round. His skill set can translate to any team in the league. He's that type of player. Coming from South Florida, he can play in the 3-4 or the 4-3. It doesn't matter. He can switch up. he's going to definitely be a steal for some team in the league. And, of course, in the right system, he can flourish and probably will be on someone's 53-man roster. I really think highly of him. Now, Joe Altman comes from Central Michigan. Now, Central Michigan quietly produced good NFL talent. And one of the people that come to my mind is Antonio Brown for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That school is pumping out solid NFL players, and I think Osmond will be the next one. He's extremely athletic, very agile, very powerful, solid instincts. Another thing for him is that he can drop back in coverage, and he has good hands. He actually can catch. It's just that he's a little bigger. Now, he's standing about 6'1". He could be a tweener between either a defensive end or a linebacker. I think a linebacker would be a better suit for him. But he has extreme good leverage. He plays around the edge very well. He has superb balance and control. So that young man, he can fit in any team in the AFC West or NFC West. He also can fit with any squad in the AFC East and NFC East. And then as far as the teams outside, he'll be a good fit for the Cleveland Browns, a good fit for the Chicago Bears because of him playing in inclement weather and where he can actually be a good pick for the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. So I see him being there. Excuse me. Now, I talked about the guys who I see as being drafted. Now, you listen to Barry Bonds again, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. You can find all this content at my publication, and you listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Network. Now, I'm about to talk about the guys who I believe that will go undrafted, but is worthy enough to be on the team. Now, Jaquan Bowers from Faulkner University. He have a good feet, good balance. Now, what hinders him is that he has good feet and good balance. Now, what probably would hinder him from being drafted, he's only 5'8", 171 pounds. He moves well. He turns his hips very well. He tracks the ball. He's very aggressive. He attacks the ball in flight, so he looks to make a play every single time. His height is the thing that probably will hinder him from being drafted, but he definitely can be in someone's camp and really can turn some heads. I think he'll fit with any NFC South squad and the Buffalo Bills. Now, out of all the people that I had talked about and who I'm really highly about as well is Tywan Holloway. Tywan Holloway transferred from Liberty University, He transferred from Liberty University and played 1 year at Western Illinois. In his only year there, he had 109 tackles. He had 4 interceptions. He pretty much did everything across the board as a defensive back. He is a special talent of finesse and physicality. He possesses great hands, good tracking ability, very fluent in his movement, and he's not afraid to bring the pain. Now, the reason why he probably won't get drafted is because of he's not the fastest. He just have good games. He's not the fastest defensive back, but everything else, they can check the boxes off. He's about the average of 5'11", 194 pounds. Someone is definitely going to sign him quickly. If he don't get drafted, I guarantee that he will get a phone call within 10 minutes after the draft is over. He can fit with any team in the AFC East or NFC East, any team in the AFC South or NFC South. But y'all can see him flourish with the Seattle Seahawks, the Cardinals, Broncos, and the Chiefs. Marvin Hill from Stony Brook, big defensive back, very aggressive, very strong. He had decent speed. Do have some good instincts, and he loves physicality. The teams I see where he'll be at is with the Patriots, the Browns, the Colts, or the Houston Texans. And then we'll go to Dietrich Nichols from South Florida. He played along with Mike Love. He have good instincts. For a guy that's standing about 5'9", he have an incredible leaping ability, and he's not afraid to make mistakes, which is a good thing. So that means he has a short memory. I can see him anywhere with the Buccaneers, the Dolphins, Atlanta, and the Colts. And finally, Abdul Anderson from Bucknell. Now, his issue, I'm not going to say it's so much of an issue, but he's one of those type of players that teams look at. And because he has an option, because of what he went to school for, as far as in economics, the question that scouts have, will he be committed to playing football or he know that he can go somewhere else and do something, have another career. All his whole thing is commitment, where he commit to playing football. If he does, he's highly intelligent, have great leverage, he can get to the quarterback, stop any ball carrier, have a great first step, solid technique with strong hands. I can see him with any team in the AFC East, AFC North, or the NFC South, or the AFC South. So there you have it, folks. That's my breakdown of the talent guys to look out for next week on Saturday, 7 days from now, on the third day where the real process evaluating talent kicks in. The first 2 days is fine, but it's all about what they do on the third day. It's all about the third day I just get excited about. Okay, folks, this is Barry Barnes from Locker-Report.com. Thank you for listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor Pad Network. Talk to you guys next week when we break down the offensive players. Everyone stay blessed.
Pressure fell on me. I thought I was gonna lose my mind. Thought I- my neighbor, I am convinced that God will show up when you need it, when you want it, when you need it.
Say, want you to be happy, but then you gotta have something happen. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I'll see you. Bye.
Everything I need,
you give me everything I need.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know up in here. Chief Peace!
For those of you that are going through, for those of us that are waiting on His promise, Understand God has not forgotten you. When times get tough, you got to look up to heaven and encourage yourself and say, Warehouse! John B. Keith!